We have Cindy McLeish with us, our local MP. So, first of all, welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Good to have you along again, Cindy. Cindy, what would you like to talk about first? I think I could put money on it.
Look, policing. And policing is... I'm in Parliament today, and the police and policing have been part of the conversations and the... I think, yeah, the activity... Yep. In Parliament today, people acknowledging what's happened and showing support for the police because, you know, what we saw happen yesterday takes an enormous toll. And, you know, even though it was in a small town near Wangaratta, the police that were there, and we're yet to find out a lot of details about them, police often move. And so they may have been, you know, police who've been in the Yarra Ranges or in Murrindindi or from out of the city, you know, they've often gone and every day, you know, they would have gone to work yesterday thinking, yep, I'll come home tonight. They wouldn't have given a thought about what they were doing. They knew they were dealing with a tricky customer when they went out to issue the warrant, but, you know, to be confronted by what they were confronted with and, you know, what happened is just horrendous. And it's, you know, it's something that you don't want to think about. And I guess everybody in this place, you know, has pretty heavy hearts, actually, because everybody, you know, knows their local police as well and, you know, knows somebody who knows somebody, I guess.
And I guess the other thing too, though, Sandy, is that, Cindy, is that they've all got families too. You know, we don't know who they are or what, but they'll have families and they'll have loved ones. And I actually was talking to somebody this morning who worked with who he believes one of them were in Melbourne.
Well, interesting that you should say that because I got a text message from a friend of mine who's a former police officer, and he said that one of the guys was in one of the squads with him, and he's since become a good friend. And he, this is one of the guys who died, and you know, I obviously haven't got access to his name, but my friend had also lost his daughter in a pretty horrible incident earlier in the year. So, you know, he's had a rotten year, but, you know, the police will know somebody who knows somebody. It's a small world. And, you know, Alan, this is on top of that horrendous, you know, incident that we had at the end of July in Yarra Junction.
Yes, yep.
You know, just a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And, you know, the police attend a scene and are confronted by situations that, you know, the situation itself is out of control and they've got to be controlled, you know, and to take the appropriate action. And, you know, the police were extraordinary. And I know that the assistant commissioner praised the officers for their bravery there in what was a traumatic situation. And I spoke to the local senior sergeant for the area who said, you know, like it was an extraordinary situation. And, you know, sadly, it seems as though our police are going to more and more of these type of situations, and we really need to be strong behind them, making sure that they know we support them and trust them. And at the same time, you know, if they need a little bit of help, because they need to unpack this, they need to be talking about it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we need to make sure that the resources are there to allow that to happen.
Yeah. When I came on here at midday, I mentioned it's not only the three, the one that was that has been shot and the other or wounded and the other two that are dead. There's other policemen were standing there. Let's not say they were standing there watching, but they saw a scene erupt where three of the colleagues that they drove out with in cars... two of them will never come home.
Yeah, and that's not what they expect. They do know that policing can be tough.
Yep.
And most of the days, it's not too bad.
Yep.
You know, they do have challenging situations depending where they are. But, you know, I guess at the back of their mind, they might know one time that they're going to get a pretty horrific scene. And, you know, we've had all, you know, the machete attacks and all of these sorts of things. And it's getting more and more local, you know, with kids and younger people with machetes from, you know, we're covered by Knox, the policing area. But out of Moorabbark and Croydon and in around there and, you know, spreading out to Lilydale, we've had a couple of incidents in Healesville. You know, people, it's starting to get closer to home and people are in country areas where they've been relatively protected. You know, we've had this situation in Junction and then that poor punker, yep. You know, terrible. So, you know, as I said, all members of Parliament today have pretty heavy hearts, you know, as they talk about this.
Could understand that. What else would you like to talk about, Cindy?
Well, I gave a bit of a shout-out this morning, actually, in the chamber because we had a couple of footy teams, girls' footy teams.
Yep.
That have done quite well. And I think it was the Healesville under-14 girls and the under-15 mixed that... you know, had premierships, so the Bloods did well. And then the Wesburn Juniors, I think, under-17 girls, they won as well. And, you know, like, it's a big deal winning a premiership, but for girls football, it's starting to really sort of come into its own. And I went around down a couple of times. I went and saw Healesville one time, the girls.
Yep.
And then Healesville playing Wesburn, actually. And then, you know, the grand final a few weeks later. And these girls are getting more and more skilled all the time.
Yeah, and like, let's be face it, 25 years ago, if a girl wanted to play football, they would have been laughed at, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah, and the girls can kick it a reasonable distance. And one of the things that helped Healesville, they've got a number of the girls from the Warrawa Aboriginal College, quite a few of the girls, and you know, I'm sure some of those guys are innately talented. They can scoop the ball up easily and get it away and find it, you know, someone to pass it to. And that's great for those girls that have come from all around the country who are at Warrawa. And I mean all around the country. Yep. You know, there's only a handful, if that, from Victoria. And, you know, so they're out and about in the local community, but they're also getting involved in girls' football, and obviously all of the football finals are on, and Yarra Junction, I think, are hosting quite a few, and they've you know, had a very big day because I don't think you realise, like, when they have the junior matches, and the matches are like about an hour or so, and then you've got the next one, and then you've got the next one, and you get the next one. So over the course of the day, there's probably five different matches that have been playing, and so the clubs are different. So one lot come out, the next lot come in, and so the car park and the traffic's bedlam, and the barbecue's going all day at the Yarra Junction. So
I was just going to say that. So very often you forget that the canteen's run by wives and parents, you know, of the players as well. I mean, it's not just going out and kicking the football in when you're talking about local football.
No, not at all, because it takes everybody to keep a club up running.
Yep.
And I guess, you know, Yarra Junction, they were hosting the juniors, so they're senior club. So a lot of the players, the netballers and the footballers are doing the work because their junior teams, they have them at a neutral ground. Or they try to have them at a neutral ground. So Yarra Junction didn't have teams for the juniors, so they had, you know, all of these clubs coming and going. And it meant for a very busy Yarra Junction on that particular day.
Yeah, and we've, I think, because we broadcast the football, and I think we've got, there's a preliminary final on Sunday, I think. Well, I know we're broadcasting on Sunday. I'm not sure about Saturday, but so there's teams going on for the next 3 or 4 weeks or out in the local area.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm. And, you know, it's a couple of weeks before the AFL thing, so, you know, it gives people time. What have I think we've got? We've got a semi-final, Div 1 semi-finals, Warburton Millgrove. They're at Yarra Glen. Not sure who they're playing, but the game's at Yarra Glen.
Cindy, we'll just take a quick break and then we'll come back with more.
Yeah, man, Tom Spiral's there representing Sky Eater, TK Base Dread, the whole Shire family, Scotland to Australia. You know that. Say drop it in. Drop it in, say drop it in, tell a vibe a begin. We'll drop it in, say drop it in, I pick keep a people in a dance bubble in a tell the tune come sweet, say come nice. Sky Eater, them the people's choice. I tell the tune come nice, say come sweet. When they make you move and go rock on your feet, make the tune come sweet, say come nice. Sky Eater, they have to play the thing twice, say come nice. take on sweet. But they make you move and go up on your feet. Link with the people, link with the music, link with the rhythm and flow. Pressure every place, sweaty hot that Mexico. I don't care where you come from and I don't care where you go. All the tribe are welcome at the Sky Eater Show. Come into the place with a smile on your face and the vibes of my feet grow. Feel it jump up, skank up, root boy, they're on patrol. Say TK bass, ready, my at the control. They want Tom Spiral rock up on the microphone. It's a sound system, ganja vision, see it in the air. Spark up, man, I light up and I pass around and share. Security, them get up, man, I move from the chair. Ask me for a draw, so I gave him one spare. He started that he whine and he might drop on the snare. Now hear him shout out, man, and hear him declare. Sky Eater and madness, you just can't compare. Happy playing another for the people in there. Drop it in, drop it in. Say drop it in until a vibe begin. We drop it in, say drop it in. Say Sky Eater, keep the place bubbling. Go on, sound sweet, say sound nice. Sky Eater, tell them the people's choice. When they make the tune come nice, say come sweet. When they make you move and go rock on your feet. Yes, them born ready, come heavy, rock steady. On a melody, they ride, coming cool and deadly. Tell your music are the guide from a long time already. Positive vibing at the roots rock reggae. Man, they feel it inside when the bass shake the belly. Fire burn, they are like the sun in New Delhi. Heat up any session, watch the people get sweaty. Coming dangerous, man, they sharp like machete. They are move with the rhythm and flow. Take a little time and I let it all go. Life can be tough as we learn and grow. But music are the medicine and that I know. But the world needing love so urgently. I love what we make in a reggae party. So like a dove man say come follow me. Step up on the rhythm and do it properly. Yo! Say come sweet, say come nice. Sky Eater name the people's choice. I make the tune come nice, say come sweet. When I make you move and go up on your feet. Make the tune come sweet, say come nice. Sky Eater name the people's choice. Say make the tune come nice, say come sweet. When I make you move and go up on your feet. Hey. Yeah man, big up Sky Eater, TK Bass Dread, the whole Shire crew, Tom Spiral, Scotland to Australia.
That came out of one of Greg Carrick's files. I've never heard that before. Anyway, we talked to Cindy.
An odd one, wasn't it, Greg?
Yeah, it was to me. Probably not my normal style. But anyway, Cindy, you'd like to talk about Gracia Baylor.
Gracia Baylor died recently at 95. And she was a local trailblazer from Healesville. And she became one of the first women elected to the Legislative Council in Victoria. But not only that, she was the first, I think, mayor of Healesville Shire. So she was the first female Shire president not that long ago, in 1977, actually.
True.
So she was living in Healesville. I think her husband had a law firm there. He'd bought a bit of a practice. And she, you know, mum, young kids, she was concerned about the lack of the kindergarten education. It's a good story, you know, in Healesville. And this is what often happens. People, for a reason, something, you know, they're going to be in their bonnet about something and they think, no, this isn't right, I'm going to stand for council. Yep. So she stood for the Healesville Council. She got on and she was on there for three terms. And she was eventually, she became Shire President. So she got the kindergarten. They got some first social housing in Healesville. She was very big on libraries, free public libraries. So she did all of that. And then in 1979, so still a while ago, she was selected by the Liberals to run as an upper house member. And so she was made history by becoming one of the first two women elected in the Legislative Council. And there'd been some in the lower house. And so she and another Joan Coxedge, the Labor Party, got elected at the same time they came in together. So, you know, that's a really good news story about a local activist, you know, in kindergarten who got, you know, agitated, excited and exercised to stand for local government, went on to state parliament. And when she was in state parliament, that John Cain was selling off the Queen Victoria Hospital, and which is in Lonsdale Street, and it's now the Queen Victoria Women's Centre. Yep. And she said, hang on a minute, you're not doing that. And she saved the Queen Victoria Hospital site from being sold off by the Labor government. So now it's home to a whole lot of women's services. So, you know, she made quite a mark and a difference, not just locally, but in the state of Victoria. And I think it's just nice that, you know, she be acknowledged. And when they talk about sure. there's not enough female statues around, well, maybe she's somebody that they could have add in the Yarra Valley, probably at the council offices. I think I might suggest that.
Sounds like a good idea. The other thing too, and I don't want to have a shot at any of your colleagues in there, but I'll bet the two women faced a bit of discrimination along the line, wouldn't they, as being the first ones?
Look, they would have been, and I don't know if I mentioned, I may have mentioned last time or the time before I was on the radio about the women that first were elected to federal parliament who got there and found there was no female toilets.
Yeah, you said that.
So, you know, there would have been some sort of challenges. There were a couple of other women in parliament at that time. So, you know, they would have had to start to think about that. But, yeah, they would have faced a whole bunch of different barriers. And I guess some of the cultures that existed were probably very much male-dominated and male-based.
Well, it was almost looked upon as a male domain. Politics wasn't there for many years.
That's right. And look, somebody like Gracia wasn't bothered by that at all. You know, she thought, no, I'm elected here. I have a right to be here and I've got a right to speak, and went on and made sure that she made the most of that. And I think in the main that's mostly what members of parliament do. But I wanted to acknowledge her. We got something up in the local paper about her story, which was good as well.
Yep, and probably Andrew, who I interviewed in the last hour, did the story.
Oh, no, Michaela did it.
Oh, did she? Oh, right.
Yeah, but it could have been, yeah.
I know you've got to get away soon, Cindy. Is there anything else you want to cover before we have to go?
There's lots, but I just wanted to talk for a moment about the events that happen in Parliament House when Parliament's sitting.
Yep.
And I was just having a look at my calendar in the last couple of sitting weeks. You know, we've had Legacy in today, next week's Legacy Week. We've got a big horticultural display in Queen's Hall at the moment. Jamie Durie's there.
They're teaching
people how to not kill your indoor plants and do Q&A, and I'm missing that at the minute. But they have various activities. We've got, you know, the Italian consulates here. We've had medical research institutions come and talk about the work that they do. You know, you have the Stroke Foundation, Hepatitis Free Victoria, and then you might have the Vixens, you know, the netball team has won, or the Grand Prix trophy might come in, or the tennis. You know, there's so many things happening during a week of Parliament around you debating bills and arguing the toss and question time and various things. So it's always really, really busy, and we're always, you know, racing around doing a number of things. What I did want to mention last week, a couple of things from last week. The Australian Hotels Association have their conferences nationally. And this time it was hosted by Lion, who now own Four Pillars, purchased it off Cam McKenzie and his mates locally.
Yep.
And they hosted people from all around the country at Four Pillars, and they did an amazing job, the local staff and the produce. So I wanted to give a bit of a shout out to those guys for, you know, it was a really quite a big event.
Sure.
But also I was at the AGM of Link Services, and Link Services is a group of Christian churches who come together and do a whole lot of
doing some great stuff.
And they used to have, you know, their kind of food bank, their food share, but now they're calling it more a social supermarket. And it's what they do and how they do it is certainly noteworthy. And if they get donated a huge amount, for example, of washing powder, they can put it into smaller containers, because washing powder is something that's really, really expensive.
Yep.
And if you've got a little container that you normally might get some rice in it, you know, with a takeaway, and if you've got enough for eight washes, that stops somebody having to buy, you know, a $16 item with their groceries. And so they're really conscious of not just the grocery items, but food items, but things like that that are really costly, of how they can spread it out and make it go a little bit further. But, you know, I was a speaker at their most recent AGM, and to hear the number of hours that people put in and the dollar value when they start to say this is how much food we've been donated and this is what the value is if you had to buy that from the supermarket and other products as well. And, you know, just the way that they think about the distribution. So, you know, people aren't just lining up at each one at the same time. You know, they have they try and make sure that it's fair and equitable, and I really want to give them a shout out for the work that they do.
And the other thing too, Cindy, that we should mention, and you just mentioned in ours, a lot of these people are volunteers too, aren't they? Who are giving their time week after week.
Yeah, absolutely. Week after week. And they are in the main members of churches in the local area. You know, they're from Millgrove to Moorabbark, Wandon, Junction, Wurrialik. And they do, you know, they do this, and good on them. Hickey in Healesville is also started with five or seven Christian churches that have a whole different services, but they'll have people that drive you places. If you've got an appointment down at Ringwood or even in the city, you know, you can go there and they can help out in different ways as well when people are doing things tough.
Yeah, I mean, I know you and I have mentioned this before, no government could ever afford to pay the volunteers. I mean, they put in millions of dollars worth of hours, don't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You couldn't and this is what they do, though. They put a dollar figure on their time.
Which is fair.
Which is fair to show that this is the value that we add, because I think you need to do that. And just finally, the Vietnam Veterans Service was in Yarra Junction. Everything's been in Yarra Junction, actually. That was on the same day as the footy finals, and it was even doubly busy. Ooh. But the Outer Eastern Vietnam veterans move their services around every year. It may have been in Yarra Glen last year. I'm just trying to remember. But Yarra Junction this time, and they've got about six or seven different venues, the RSLs, that they'll use in and around the Outer East. And again, congratulations to the Upper Yarra RSL for their work at putting that on in Yarra Junction.
Did a terrific job. Cindy, I know you've got to go, so we thank you for your time and we'll look forward to be September then, won't it?
Oh, gosh. Yes, we do. Okay.
Thanks, Cindy.
Bye.
Bye.